take two. Okay.
I don't know that I've ever heard this version. Welcome back in the zone. Justin Acri, the Pigskin Preacher. Joined in studio by a number of special guests. The Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival kicks off this week, and we've been talking a lot about it. The buzz is more heavily involved than ever before this year. In fact, we are going to award the best sports documentary feature. So we are thrilled about that. The opener tonight is a movie called Good Old Frida. And it's a story about Frida Kelly, who is the was a secretary for the Beatles during their heyday. She is here along with her daughter, Rachel, and the producer, Jessica Lawson. So we welcome you all into the studio. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
So when did you all get in?
Last night.
Okay. So you've had kind of a... Are you still in... You still live in England, I assume?
Yeah, I live near Liverpool.
Near Liverpool.
We left about 5 a.m. yesterday morning.
Okay, that's a long day.
Yeah. Well, we changed flights at Chicago.
Okay. Have you been to the States before?
I've been to the States before, but I've never been to Arkansas.
Okay.
Before,
so. Well, you haven't had a chance to enjoy it yet. So I would ask you what you think, but I guess you haven't really had time yet. So
I'm hoping to see quite a bit of it tomorrow.
Well, good. Well, you're going to one of the prettier parts of the state, and that's saying something because there are a lot of pretty parts of the state. But Hot Springs is a great town, and you'll get to see on the drive down on 70, you'll get to see some nice parts of the state. So it's good, but I hope you enjoy that.
You look good flying in.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming in, and it's a great story. And the big thing that I've been able to glean from reading, the write ups about this is a story that has sort of been a long time in the making, because you have been.
I hid low for a long time.
Yeah, you were kind of I guess not overly willing to tell your story, but just how do they talk you into it? And actually, it's funny because we're gonna have Jose Canseco on next week, and he's a former Major League Baseball player who's kind of got a sordid past. And he has been kind of unwilling to share his side of the story and do a documentary, but they kind of talked him into it, and we get both these stories at the same time. Certainly different ends of the spectrum, but, glad that the story's finally being told.
Well, I left when I was having Rachel, and I thought that was it. And over the years, different people have asked me to do things, but I've always shrugged it off because I didn't really want to do it. Mm-hmm. But then when my grandson came along... I thought, it's either now or never. I better let him know what I got up to in my youth.
Yeah. Can you tip that mic just up? Yeah, up just a little bit more towards you. Yeah, just pull that. There you go. Okay, so you met these guys. Tell me about, the whole story. Take me back to the beginning.
I can't tell you the whole story. I'll be here for
years. Tell me part of the story. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so you were 17, though, when you got involved?
I was 17, and I worked around the corner from the cavern, and then I started going to the cavern in my lunch hour. Three times a week, and I got to know them because they lived near me. So, gradually got to know them very well, and then they would give me a lift home. And then I got to know Brian Epstein, their manager, and then when he signed them up, he wanted a secretary to work for him, and I got the job.
What were you doing at the time?
I was a secretary in another firm just around the corner.
Okay.
I was actually going to work for a bank. And I was going to go away for 6 weeks to study in Oxford. But once I got this job, I didn't.
Yeah. Well, this is a better gig than you were going to have, I guess.
Well,
I
my father thought this job would probably last a year. And so I thought, at the end of the year, I'll go and work in the bank and do something else.
Were you one of the ones who had seen them play in the cavern when they had the hit with My Bonnie?
Yeah, just after that.
Just after that.
Yeah.
And Epstein was managing his family's furniture store, wasn't it?
It was a record shop.
They had
a furniture shop.
Right.
They had three branches. But the shop that Brian Epstein managed was the biggest record shop in the north of England. And it did sell televisions and things. It didn't sell furniture, that particular shop.
Where were they in their level of success when you got involved?
Love Me Do.
Okay.
They just... had recorded Love Me Do.
Okay.
But so, I knew them before then. I mean, that's when I went to work for them.
Okay. Yeah. So did you travel around much, or was it mostly, because it sounded like, and from what I read, was about handling all the fan mail, which obviously was a full-time job and then some, I'm sure.
I went to a few bookings locally, and then I went on Magical Mystery Tour with them. And naturally, I went to all the cities in England, but I didn't travel with them, only on the Magical Mystery Tour thing.
I'll ask you to speak generally, I guess, because we want everybody to go see the film. But what kinds of things do you get into? What kinds of things do you avoid? One of the clips in the trailer was they asked you if you'd ever dated any of them, and that was off limits. But anything that you didn't get into that they asked you about? Anything that you did get into that hasn't been talked about?
Really, this tale, it was for my grandson. So I just wanted him to know how I met them, how I started the fan club, what I'd done in the fan club, and how I ended it. And it's to let Beatle fans, give them a little bit of insight into the parents, because I was very involved with the parents. And also, what it takes to run a fan club.
Did you have any role in kind of helping cover up the fact that John was actually married and the other three weren't? They didn't usually publicize that. I was wondering if that might have fallen to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I knew he was married, but he didn't broadcast anything like that. Even to friends, I never said anything. Mm-hmm. In the film, one of my close friends started going out with him. And I really wanted to tell her, but I couldn't. I mean, he didn't sign any contracts in those days. Mm-hmm. There was no employment law or anything, but you just kept quiet about a lot of things.
How was George Martin to work with?
I only met him once. Mm-hmm. I met him at a few functions, but I did call into Abbey Road occasionally. But I didn't really know George Martin.
Did you have anything to do when they opened up the boutique, the Apple boutique?
No, I worked for Apple. I came under Apple Wing, the offices. Okay. And I went to the boutique and I bought a few things. And when it closed, I got a few things free. But I had nothing to do with the boutique.
Now, with all the artists that they were signing, like Mary Hopkin and
Jackie Lomax,
Badfinger, some of them, yeah. you had dealings with all
I knew
of them.
Jackie Lomax very well. Mm-hmm. Because he was in a Liverpool group called... I've forgotten. it'll come to me. And I knew Badfinger, Joey Mullen very well. He actually was
Peter Ham, sure.
Yeah.
Frida Kelly, Rachel Norris joining us.
The Undertakers. That was the group.
Jessica Lawson in the studio as well. Jessica, let me ask you about, from a producer standpoint, how you got, I guess, how this all came about for you and what kinds of things went into developing these. And I've been watching a lot of the sports documentaries that are involved or in the running for the best sports doc. And I think of all the time that goes into compiling, visual things to put into a documentary like this. But talk to me about the process from your end of things.
Well, once Frida decided to tell her stories, she's a great storyteller, so really her side of it came easily. Once we had her on the couch and she was talking, there was a lot to tell. And then, because this is all history, we had to make it into a story that makes sense and that, has a beginning, middle, and end and is entertaining for people to watch and they can follow. And a lot of that, thankfully, Frida had a whole bunch of rare photographs that no one had ever seen before. We also just didn't want to, retell Beatles history with the same thing that everyone had always seen. So the whole film is from Frida's perspective. It's her stories about the Beatles. It's her stories about her life. And so we could use her photos and we got access to a bunch of old archives so that, again, it wasn't just the same photos you see of the Beatles every time, So there's over 600 photographs in the film. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have never been seen before, but they do a great job to illustrate Frida's stories.
That's very cool. Now, did you visit with the surviving Beatles about doing this? I mean, do they sign off on it? Did you not ask permission, but I mean, did you kind of make them aware that you were going to go forward with this?
Yeah, I made them aware.
Okay.
I opened the door of Apple, to the film crew, and then I left them to it.
Well, thanks to her opening the door, we got approval to use Beatles music, which is very, very rare. And we actually have 4 original Beatles tracks in the songs, something that required about 2 years of back and forth and we're very excited about. So I won't tell you which 4. Go see the movie, but there's 4 originals in the film and we're very proud of that too.
Now, have you been in the States before, Frida, to promote the film?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Do you want to know where?
Sure. Yeah. Tell me where you've been.
I went to New York and I went to L.A. Mm-hmm. And then film festivals, I went to Texas and Cleveland.
Okay.
And San Francisco and Toronto.
Well, I can't guarantee you'll like us better than every place, but I think you'll like us more than Cleveland, for sure. we pick on Cleveland a lot. Chuck is kind of my go-to guy with Beatles history, so if you have any other questions that are...
One of the things that's pretty apparent in those Richard Lester films, even when they started off, they're just unbelievably funny.
Yeah.
They were quick.
It just comes natural.
Witty. Were they like that all the time?
All the time.
So that wasn't an affectation.
No, that's
just
that,
who they
that
were.
That is real. That's not acting or anything. You know, they were very quick with each other. You know, and I think the driest one was George. Mm. You know, but he never thought she was funny. You know, you know, they'd all be talking, and then George would come out with, say, two words, and he'd crease up, and he'd look at you as if, say, what are you laughing at? You know?
Now, if someone were to ask you personally which of all of their albums is the favorite, what would you say? Mine would have to be Revolver. I love Revolver.
I know everybody goes for Revolver.
Oh, do you have another one?
I don't. Seriously, no. I don't. I don't have a favorite single either. How can you have a favorite single when you've got so many
it's difficult.
Fantastic music?
Yeah, there's not a bad one that they did.
I mean, I have not certain favorites, but like, say, Strawberry Fields, you know, naturally, that brings me back to Menlo Avenue. Penny Lane is where I used to live, and we all used to, like, get the bus there, or they drop me off there. You know, some Magical Mystery Tour reminds me of traveling with them.
You mentioned Menlo Avenue, where John lived. Did you ever meet Aunt Mimi?
I used to go every month on a Tuesday for quite a few years.
She seemed very quick, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
she
quick.
She was stern. But, and I went to Ringo's house every week for years. George, well, I went to all the houses, but I didn't help with George's mail because his mum was very good. But I went out with him socially.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, Paul's old house, and then when they moved over to the Wirral, I used to go there. So I was quite close to all
outstanding.
The
Frida, this was the, I think it was, would have been his 73rd birthday for John Lennon this week,
yeah.
Which I didn't realize his son Sean was actually born on the same day, which I didn't realize until we saw that today. But what, are you surprised at all? Do you ever find yourself surprised by how lasting, you know, their effect has been from a musical standpoint? Not only that, but just, I mean, the personalities of the...
Like when they first started out, you just knew that they had something, you know, entirely different to what was going on in Liverpool. And you knew that they would make what we would say make it, but nobody could visualize what was going to happen, mm-hmm. you know, and it would last this long. But then when you see what they've produced, and I mean, Paul, I think Paul alone, without the Beatles, you definitely know of Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a line in Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers, that called the 10,000-hour rule, and he uses the Beatles as an example. He says they were good when they started off, but he said when they went to Germany and just did those 8 and 10-hour sets day after day, he said when they came back, it's like, good grief, what happened to these guys?
I saw them. I didn't know them. But when they came back, you know, a lot of my friends thought that they were German. You know, people that would just go and see them for the first time, and they came back in all this leather gear and bouncing on stage and coming out with numbers that we'd never heard before, and
Klaus Voormann haircuts, the whole thing.
we know how impactful it is here. I can't imagine what it's like, you know, around Liverpool still to this day. Is it still something that's, you know, part of the daily culture? Maybe I ask your daughter that. I mean, growing up around that, I mean, was it, obviously you guys have a special connection, but I mean, musically,
yeah. You know, I can't believe the talent in Liverpool even now.
Really?
I went to see a documentary called The City That Rocks, and it's just about Liverpool.
Hmm.
And even, I mean, I've been involved with the music scene from the 60s. Even now I'm involved heavily with quite a lot of groups. And just sitting there, I just couldn't believe what came out in the 80s. We had so many good groups, you know.
Weren't Jerry and the Pacemakers from Liverpool?
Yeah,
also?
Yeah. Well, Jerry was, I worked with Jerry as well because he came under Brian Epstein. And, you know, I see him on a regular basis. And I know his wife, Pauline. So I saw them last year.
You're like a walking encyclopedia of Britpop. This is unbelievable.
Just of Liverpool. Well, I used to write a column in, you know, pop paper. As well for a London pop paper.
I've been reading NME for years.
Yeah, I know. Alley Cat.
Absolutely.
Their music has been used in so many different ways. I had a chance to see their show in Vegas, which was amazing. I think Pixie has been to that at least once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen other productions that have utilized their music? And
no, I mean, I saw Love in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I would just want to keep going back because
there's
so much in it. I mean, your eye is on the left and really should be on the right. And
I kept watching for somebody to fall through the stage because the stage kept rearranging.
I loved
like,
all the Wellingtons. All the
how do they know where the holes are? Yeah, it was incredible. I'm glad you got a chance to see that. I mean, it was, you know, I don't have the the background other than kind of growing up and listening to the music because my parents were fans. But it's amazing how impactful it is, you know. And I think, you know, with my kids even, it'll be something they'll listen to.
But it's also broad, you know, how many people learn English through Beatles songs. You know, it's unbelievable, you know, because I've met quite a lot of foreigners and they've said we learned our English through just singing Beatles songs.
Yeah, that's amazing. So where else, do you have other promotional events planned?
Yes. When I go back, we're in London next weekend, and then Jesse and I are going to Korea.
Oh, wow. Okay.
South Korea.
Yeah.
And then next month, we're going to Japan, and Rachel's coming with us to Japan.
Rachel, are you going on most of these tours?
No.
Okay.
No. Just here and Japan.
Okay. All right.
Which is good.
Well, yeah, you picked two good ones then. Well, congratulations on the buzz. I mean, it's certainly got a great review in the paper today. Philip Martin, who is not the easiest guy to overwhelm, he gave it a great review, so that was good.
I paid him a lot of money.
Yes, well, he's very particular, but we usually trust his judgment, so that's good. And it is the movie that will kick off the Hot Springs Documentary and Film Festival tonight.
It's also playing in Little Rock opening tonight at the Market Street Cinema.
I did not realize that. Okay, good news. All right, well, that's good to know. Will you be doing, I'm assuming there will be an interview session tonight?
Yeah, questions and answers.
Oh, great.
Well, no hard questions, please, people.
Okay. Do you mind taking a question from a listener?
No problem.
I don't normally do this with
She doesn't have her headphones on.
Since you're in studio, yeah. Can you grab one of those headphones so you can hear? There you go. I don't know if those are on or not, but I assume they are. Can you hear three of those okay?
Yeah.
Jerry, go ahead.
Hey, this is fascinating. It's lovely to talk to you, and I love the way you say film.
Oh, that's the Irish in me. I'm from Dublin.
Yeah. You know, I've loved the Beatles for years, and I've read a lot of books and anything and everything, and it seemed to me that, I don't know if this would be something you'd want to comment on, but I always kind of thought Yoko got a bad rap for breaking up the Beatles. I agree with you.
It wasn't just Yoko. It was a number of things.
Well, I was thinking of Linda and her father, but anyway, this is just awesome. You should come back once a week.
Jerry, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, there are some, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of things that have become sort of, you know, pop culture that is somewhat farcical, and some of it's probably true, but it's interesting to hear you say that, because that's kind of that's the common thing. I mean, there's a lot of things that are sort of... you know, pop legend that aren't actual, you know, actually.
Well,
the
there's a book coming out actually tonight. Mark Lewisham was commissioned by Apple about 12 years ago to write what I would say the Bible.
Really?
And it's took him that long to write just the first book. There's three of them.
Wow.
And he reckons it's another 10 years for the second one. But he's cross-referenced everything. I sat with him for 7 hours, 5 hours one night, going through a lot. And then he pleaded with me to come back the next day. And I have a 1963 diary, which, you know, not many people see, but I let him have a little bit of information from that. Because that's just the ramblings of a 17-year-old, like who she fancied and all, who she wanted to go out with and all that lot. So nobody was seeing that. But I let him have peeps of, you know, things.
I understand.
But I'm looking forward to that. I don't read Beatle books because I've just got my memories in my head. I don't write anything down. But I'm looking forward to this book.
Anything else that people, I mean, has sort of become fact for some people, like the Yoko thing, that you would disprove or do in the movie?
Paul is dead rumor.
Oh, yeah. We had that Paul is dead, you know.
What about the Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds song?
Oh, yeah, for Julian. Yeah.
Julian said he came home, he'd drawn a picture of his schoolmate. I mean, why would Lennon have lied about that being about drugs when Dr. Robert was about drugs? I mean, if they wanted to write about drugs, they would. And he said that it wasn't. And Americans, for some reason, do not want to accept that.
No, people dig too deep and go into things and analyze things so much. And you think, what's all this about? You know, why don't you just believe what the lads say?
I've always wondered about the guy they called Magic Alex. Martis. Was he as odd a character as he seems to be?
Yes, I sat next to him on Magical Mystery Tour.
The Beatles seemed to love the guy. They thought he was kind of an early techie guy and all. And then I think he was probably more flash than substance. So
he's very hard to get to know. I mean, you know, he didn't last very long anyway.
Can I ask you one non-Beatles question before we let you go? there was talk this week, the commissioner of the NFL was talking about, and of course they played games over in London recently. And they're doing that every year. In fact, they're talking about expanding it to 3 games next year. Now there's talk maybe of putting a team permanently in London for the NFL, and we got to talking about how that would be received. Do you think that would be attended? I mean, is there enough of an interest, do you think, in American football over there?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, I came to America in the 80s. And I worked, you know, as a secretary, and one of the juniors there asked me to bring him a hat pack.
Really?
Know? Yeah.
There a favorite team over there from people you know?
It was only that, you know, it was because I was going to New York. He wanted me to bring back a baseball hat from you.
Okay. Well, you can buy a lot of New York Football Giants gear right now because it's not doing too well. They're 0-6. So
no, that's not fair.
They're struggling. But, yeah, I would be interested about that. So I don't know if it'll ever come to pass, but we'll see. Yeah, maybe they could be the London Beatles. They'd be a good mascot, perhaps. So appreciate you very much. Good luck with the film, and I'm sure it's going to do very, very well. And I know folks around here are very excited about it. And it's great that you guys are kicking things off for us in Hot Springs.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, great to meet
you. Thank
you. All right, thank you so much. Rachel, thank you too, and Jessica as well. You have any other projects you want to let us know about before you take off? You got anything else in the works?
That's it for now. We're just promoting Good Old Frida. I hope everyone can come out tonight in Hot Springs.
7 o'clock start tonight, right?
Correct, yeah, okay. We're excited.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
10:53, got to take a time out. We will be back in just a moment. It's The Zone. Buzz Radio Network.